The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 6. This will serve as our sermon text this morning. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. At that, the Jews argued among themselves, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, amen, amen, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like your fathers ate and died. The one who eats this bread will live forever. He said these things while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. When they heard it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, asked them, does this cause you to stumble in your faith? What if you would see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh does not help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning those who would not believe and the one who would betray him. He said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is given to him by my Father. After this, many of his disciples turned back and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus asked the 12, you do not want to leave too, do you? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Give your attention to those words from the gospel lesson, John chapter 6. Let me read verses 60 through 63 again. When they heard it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, asked them, does this cause you to stumble in your faith? What if you would see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? The Spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh does not help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. This is the word of our God, and so we pray. Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, so the Bread of Life discourse begins with people eagerly coming to Jesus, looking for him. And that it ends with people just as eagerly going away from him because they couldn't stand his teaching anymore. And why? Because his teaching was so difficult. What's the most difficult part of this text as you consider it and look at it? Is it talking about chewing Jesus' flesh, drinking his blood? Is it that we can't have life without him? That there is no salvation apart from Jesus? There are some very difficult words in this text at the end of the Bread of Life discourse, and we'll talk about them today. But as we hear these words, we remember that this is the same Jesus as he has always been. Even when his words appear difficult to understand, even when they may cause our sinful flesh to stumble at them. These words are life-giving words through which the Holy Spirit works faith. This is the same Jesus. Jesus' teaching is still the same, just as offensive as it always was. You might expect Jesus to tone it down a little bit. You might want him to soften his language, to not cause so much offense. Just tell a joke, Jesus. Lighten the mood a little. A little levity, a little comic relief would go a long way, Jesus. But he doesn't. Instead, he does just the opposite. He intensifies the language that he speaks to drive home the point. In verse 51, he uses this word flesh. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then he says we need to eat that bread. That's graphic. That's strong language, intense language, a hard picture to understand, let alone to accept and desire to follow. But that word reminds us of another word that the writer used, John used, to describe in his opening words of this birth of this Jesus in the flesh. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Yes, this is Jesus, the same Jesus who came in the flesh for us. The one who came in his dying on the cross, that God-man by which we have been saved. He came. He entered our world in flesh and blood in order to bleed, to be cut, and to be pierced and die for us. That's an intense picture. And what's more, we must firmly believe in this Jesus who is crucified for us. And we must intensely follow his word of death and resurrection in order to have eternal life in us. Of course, the Jews were grumbling about these words as Jesus spoke them. How could they not? And how does not our sinful flesh, our sin, object this strong language, such a hard concept to understand, let alone to believe and to trust? But Jesus knew that. So does he lighten the mood? Does he take a step back and inject some humor into his conversation, some levity? No, instead, he uses this well-known formula that the gospel writer uses again and again. Amen, amen, I tell you. Saying, listen carefully, because what I'm about to say to you is of vital importance. And then what does he say? Even more offensive language, even heavier words, even stronger pictures. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. We are death. We have only death in ourselves. That's a heavy word, a heavy truth for us to acknowledge, a hard teaching to believe and accept. How many church bodies get tripped up by this teaching, this truth, that no one can come, no one has life, we are all dead, we are all lost and condemned creatures, no one can be saved, not even one. Except through the Spirit-worked faith in Jesus Christ. As Jesus himself says, no one can come to me unless it is given to him by my Father. Why do you believe? Why are you different than all the rest of the world? Not because you are better. Not because you chose. But because God chose you to believe. Brought you to faith through this word. You, who is only death. And he made you to have life. Something else in this verse intensified that picture for those hearers, especially those Jews who were inclined to follow, who were in fact followers of Jesus, the text tells us. He said, eat this flesh. But now, in this verse, he takes that offense even farther for them. He says, drink the blood. That was a sin, according to the Old Testament Jewish law. You weren't to drink the blood of a sacrifice. To eat the flesh of a sacrifice was directed and commanded by God to his priests and to the people who were bringing those offerings. But do not drink the blood, he said. Now Jesus says, you must drink my blood to have life in yourselves. So graphic, so offensive, so contrary to even what they thought God commanded them in the past. They didn't even know how to process this hard truth that Jesus was speaking. We might suggest to Jesus, hey, let's tone it down a little bit. Let's back off of that analogy a bit. But the picture got even stronger in verse 54. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. You can't see it in the English because the English word is still the same word, eat. But in the Greek, the word is clear. This word that the Holy Spirit used for eat in verse 54 intensifies the picture more than the previous verse. It's not the normal word that we use for eat. Instead, it's a word that means to chew, even audibly. Like when you're really intensely eating something, like an animal might gnaw on a bone to get every last piece of meat and devour everything. What a picture. So intense, Jesus gives. You might even say offensive. But he does it. He goes there. He says that. But what a beautiful expression of the way that we should believe in Jesus and his death for us and his resurrection from the dead. We don't shy away from those truths. We don't turn away in disgust from Christ and his suffering, his cross and his crucifixion. We don't shy away from his death for us. As ugly a picture as it is, we embrace it. We love it. We love that blessed cross, and we need to explore that death and gnaw on that truth and get every last bit of life that Jesus gives to us in that truth to know and believe. That's what Jesus wants from his followers, his believers. That's exactly the way Peter responds in the end of the text. Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. We have come to the firm conviction that this is true. We know to be true beyond the shadow of a doubt what you have said to us. You are the Christ. You are the very God from very God come down from heaven in the flesh and true man to suffer and die to rescue us from our death, from our sins. And we can't wait to hear your next word, your next teaching, because whatever it is, we're going to devour it. We're going to eat it up and live on it because we know that those words are the only real truth of eternal life for us. And that's what Jesus wants for you too, friends. That's what Jesus wants for you, to live, to love, to gnaw on and eat up every last morsel of his word, his truth. To read, learn, and inwardly digest, as that beautiful ancient prayer says, the flesh and blood of Christ in his teaching and his truth. In a few moments, we're going to install a new teacher here at St. Paul's. Courtney, you're here not because you've had a tiny taste of God's word, but because you've devoured that word in your life, in your training, at Martin Luther College, in your years of ministry to this point too. You've devoted yourself for 4 years to studying thoroughly every last word and every last teaching that Jesus gives to us. And you rejoice in that teaching because you've come to believe and know that these are the words of eternal life from Christ, the Holy One of God, just as Peter said too. And what will you teach here at St. Paul's? Are you going to give these children just a sampling of that word of God that he's taught? No. You're going to teach many things, many different subjects too. But every single thing that you teach will be taught in the light of that most blessed word of God so that the students too, in every lesson that you teach, whatever subject it is, can devour Jesus' flesh and blood in his word of truth, in what he has to teach to them too. What a blessing. what a blessing our Christian schools are. And these servants of God who teach this word of God. Shall we go on? Jesus does. More offense, more strong language, more intensity in his words. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Oh boy, this troubles our flesh, doesn't it? This offends our sinful nature that really hates Jesus and doesn't need any more reason to hate him even more. He doesn't say real flesh and blood. That isn't the picture. That isn't the point. We know that. We love that truth. Jesus came in the flesh. He is true flesh. He is truly human, as we confess in the Nicene Creed. No, the word real that he uses twice goes with the word food and drink. Real food, real drink. And our reason cries out, but that's the opposite of the point that you want to say, Jesus. You're using a metaphor. You're not real food. You're not real drink. The whole point is that this is a figure of speech. Oh, how offensive Jesus' words are to our flesh. Our sinful nature doesn't need any more reason to turn from Jesus and his words. Yet Jesus gives us even more offensive words that make us want to turn from him, make our flesh recoil. But no, we will not. We will believe. We will trust, even when it seems we can bear no more. Like Moses, who gave up power and wealth in Egypt to be considered a follower of this true God, the real God, food and drink to eat and consume for his eternal life. Like Joshua, who chose that day to serve the true Lord, he and his house. Friends, that's what we do. That's to receive Jesus as real food and real drink, to believe in him, to trust in his words fully, completely, even and especially when our reason or the world or everything else points in the opposite direction and tells us to run. And look at the reaction of the people. And remember, these were not the opposition. These were not the people that were looking to kill him and hated him already and were already looking for excuses and trying to put him to death. No, these were people that considered themselves disciples of Jesus, who came eagerly to hear his word, who considered them, counted themselves followers. But when they hear this, how do they react? We read, he said these things while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. When they heard it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can listen to it? They couldn't stand it anymore. They couldn't listen to him. His words were repulsive. His teaching was foolish. And it was a stumbling block to them. No way, Jesus, we are done with you. And Jesus knew that. So does he back off? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, asked them, does this cause you to stumble in your faith? They had faith. But Jesus' words to them was causing them to stumble and fall away from their faith. To leave Jesus. To spit out the flesh and blood. To push away the plate of the meal of himself, his word and truth that he had placed before them to consume, to devour. They pushed it away. And they pushed away eternal life. No, Jesus doesn't back off, even now. He says there's a whole lot more that will offend your flesh. A whole lot more that I could say. What if you would see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? They will. They will see that. Will they still be following him then? Will they stick with him through the suffering and the cross to see him rise and then to ascend in glory to where he was before? After this, many of his disciples turned back and were not walking with him anymore. Yes, this Jesus in this text who speaks with such offensive words is the exact same Jesus who is giving this very life-giving word through which the Holy Spirit works to grant us eternal life. And so then he looks right at you. And he says to you today, just as he said to his disciples then, you don't want to leave too, do you? And like Moses, and like Joshua, and like the 12, so you too today. Are you offended by this Jesus? He's still the same. His teachings. Will you follow him? Will you continue to hear his words? Will you continue to devour his teachings? Will you feast on him again and again in his flesh and blood, real food and real drink for eternal life? God grant that all of us here, all of us whose sinful flesh is offended by this Jesus, all of us put to death that sinful flesh which counts for nothing and is death. And answer along with Peter, Lord, to whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. Amen. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Savior. Amen.